everybody. Happy Wednesday. It is another Snipes and Stripes Beauty with my beauty partner, Mr. Tim Peel, right here on nofilter.net. Peelzy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing awesome, bud. I'm doing awesome. Excited about today's show. It should be fantastic.
And, yeah, especially with what's happening in Washington this year. Not only with Ovi chasing the record, but with how good the Washington Capitals have been, and no better person to talk about the Washington Capitals than good old Alan May, one of our old friends, and it'll be a lot of fun to catch up with him. But thanks to Whiskey in the Wild, whiskeyinthewild.com, for your best whiskey, chocolate orange whiskey of all time. Protected neck guards, and my buddy Timmy Peel making sure that every young kid has the ability to protect themselves. Very important these days. And Bet Online, we appreciate the support from Bet Online. You want to make some money? Go to Bet Online. Throw in a bet that today's show is going to be great, because it's going to be. But real quick, before we bring Alan in, we're just having a conversation just offline with our producer, Timmy Bales, and he was telling me, did you see the Ottawa fans booing the American National Anthem last night, and Brady Tkachuk sitting there rolling his eyes and how pissed he was? Uh-huh. This has got to stop, man. This is just getting a little bit out of hand. And, you know, he made a good point. I mean, Brady Tkachuk, he is a very proud American. Absolutely. And he's the captain of their team. It's not out of the question for him to say, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm not going to be a part of anybody that's going to disrespect my country. I want out of here.
You know what? It's I agree with you 100%. I just tweeted out something a few minutes ago, because the Ottawa Citizen, it's an opinion piece. So somebody in Ottawa, not a journalist, some fan, wrote in and basically said, should Brady Tkachuk be the captain, because he wants to fight? Is he a good role model for kids? Should we watch the PWHL instead? Just a woke liberal. Like, I'm sorry, it's asinine. And I go, just when you didn't think people could get any dumber, I know of 31 other teams that would love to have Brady as their captain. Go send go fans, enjoy the last few years left on his contract. Hashtag arrivederci, because I think he is out of there. If he's got 4 years left, if he makes another two, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I could see him asking for a trade with them. The next two. He is such a proud young man. He's such a team guy. He puts the team before him or anybody else. But at some point in time, he's going to say, I need to pull a Matthew and get traded to a decent team.
Well, I mean, it's not out of the question. And it's not out of his character. He's a very loyal guy.
Very loyal.
And he has given so much to that team, and he's battled, and he's played through injury, and he's represented the team well, you know, both on the ice and off the ice. But these people up there are going to bite themselves in the ass.
Yeah, they are.
Don't mess with a proud American, because he'll have no problem saying, you know what, screw you guys, I'm going someplace where they're going to honor my flag, and they're not going to boo my country and embarrass themselves.
What's that expression, JR? Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Listen, it's getting really ramped up. I'm not going into political stuff, but, you know, people don't really understand the magnitude of what Canada taxes the United States for bringing in their goods into their country. It's massive. Yeah. It's massive. And, you know, to get something back on them, and having Trudeau open up his yap and start acting like a prime minister for the first time in his ridiculous life. You know, I have so much respect for Canadians, but this is they're getting a little crazy now. They're taking off all the alcohol out of the LCBO now in Canada, out in Ontario.
Which they've already paid for.
Yeah, which they already paid for. So they're taking all the product. So now the companies that they're taking the product off are going to lose money on all that product that they bought. And, you know what's going to happen? The United States is always going to win. We're going to be fine. You know, and I know Canada will be fine. But Canada's going to get hurt more than America will, and it's that sucks. I don't like to see that. I love Canada. I love Canadians. I don't want to see that, but it just seems like hotheads are taking over right now, and sometimes stupid people, and they're
This,
trying.
go ahead.
And you can't hold a grudge. You just got to do business, right? So let's hope they figure
This
something out.
reminds me of the 2004 lockout when you guys got locked out by the owners and the players. We're gonna win. We're gonna win. And
Not me. I was. I got.
I know, but I'm just. And in January, we're getting messages, Barry Melrose, different guys, we're going back to work. And they had offered, I think at one point, 59 million or 50 some million as a salary cap. And the players said, no, the whole season gets wiped out. We go back to work the next year. The salary cap's 39 million. Okay. The rich, and it's the same thing, the
They always
American.
win. They always win.
United States will always win. They're too powerful, and yeah, there might be some short-term pain, but
Yeah. Well, Bob Goodnow and Ian Pulver, who ran that whole thing, were absolute were donkeys. They were so bad. We will never accept. We will never accept a salary cap. Never. So who won that? Okay. Not only did we have to accept the salary cap, but we had to give back a percentage of our contracts. Like, talk about a epic failure, right? You're supposed to listen to the people. You're supposed to listen to the people. You're supposed to listen to your constituents.
Constituent.
Goodnow and Pulver worked for the NHL players. There's about 50 of us that said, you know what? We should probably look at a soft cap. No, no, no. Nobody believes that. I'm like, he goes, all right. So let's bring in our buddy. Let's bring in Mr. Alan May, our Washington guru here. This is gonna be a lot of fun. I've known Alan for a long time. You've known him for a long time, but he's just such an amazing guy. And obviously, his view on hockey and his view on the game is awesome. If you ever watch him, there he is. Look at that beautiful man. What's up, Alan?
I've been waiting. I was listening to you guys, but I didn't know all of a sudden my device all shut down. So
Well,
happy to be here.
that's awesome. Well, listen, we appreciate you being on. Obviously, it's been a lot of fun for everybody in Washington watching Ovi chase the record. Not only that, but watching this team just have an epic year. And I think the surprising team of the National Hockey League this year, the Washington Capitals, they have done things that nobody expected, obviously with getting a little older, but they've had some guys that stepped up having monster years. I'm looking forward to chatting with what the whole atmosphere is like in Washington. It must be fun to go to the rink every night.
Well, it is, and I don't know what happened, but my Bluetooth quit working when the device changed. But I don't know if you guys can hear me. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, got you fine.
Okay.
All good.
Well, the biggest thing, it's been incredible. The team did a reset last year in June, and it was spectacular. They were risky, but they don't think they were risky in some of the players that they brought in. And the Dubois trade right off the bat, the Chychrun trade, free agency, all seven free agents have hit it. And they did it. It was so methodical what Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick did. It was spectacular. And I knew that they would be good. I thought not like top in the league, not top in the Eastern Conference, but I thought they'd be battling for the division lead. I know you have to stay healthy and everything, but every podcast, every stream I went on, every radio show, when I would say this, they would go quiet and kind of cowardly dismiss me. And get the last laugh because
Don't they know? Don't they know the guru of hockey is Alan May? Don't they know exactly your prowess?
anyone that's been in it their whole life, when you look at it, when you really pay attention, I've been paying attention specifically to this team now for 16 seasons, and they were methodical. They didn't just go after shiny things and put them all like, the Rangers have done it a couple of times where they've already had a great power play. Then they brought in Patrick Kane and Tarasenko, excuse me, and all of a sudden, you're trying to keep everyone happy. They brought in first line, second line, third line, fourth line, and the defenders that made the team so much better. And you already got Carlson. You bring in Matt Roy, who's arguably the best defensive defenseman in the National Hockey League by the eye test and by the numbers test, but for the geeks. And then Chychrun was the guy the Caps have been after. And what a one punch he and John Carlson have provided to the Caps in offense. And then Logan Thompson, a goaltender that's an awesome dude that plays with a chip on his shoulder. We already had Charlie Lindgren, a guy that battles every night. So I just looked at it and I thought, you know, what is everyone paying attention to? And they upgraded their team in so many different ways, and it's made the players that those guys pushed down, it's made them better players. So that's my rant, and I'm not the all-time guru, but I just knew that those were the right fits for the Washington Capitals. Carberry and his crew of coaches, they worked so well with all of these guys.
Well, JR, you mentioned off screen that a good guy Alan was, and you've known him for a long time, and I'm like, all I remember is hearing him yell at me all the time. I go, I don't know him that well. He just yelled at me all the time. So I'm hoping he doesn't today and he gives me a little break. But before we get into it, Alan, before we get into the players, and you just alluded to Chris and Brian, what they did. They did a tweak. JR and I talked about it last year. Last year, where Washington and Pittsburgh were 1-2 as far as the oldest teams in the league. I looked it up yesterday, and Washington's now 8. So they've done that really in a short period of time. But before we get into anything else, I want to ask you how Craig Laughlin's doing. I love Locker. Great guy. He had open heart surgery. He brings a lot of passion, and he just loves the Caps. And I've enjoyed listening to him for years. And I think you might have a bit of a connection with what happened with him.
Well, Locker's doing better. He's progressing, and he had open heart surgery. He had 4 different procedures done at once, not a quadruple bypass. He had 1 single bypass, but some other things that went on with it. And, you know, his family was really worried about him the first week because he wasn't himself. And I was like, well, he doesn't do drugs. He doesn't really get hammered when we're drinking. He's supposed to cut off. So I said, he's got a lot of things going on right now. And I said, oh, by the way, when was the last time he had a coffee? And they go, well, he hasn't had a coffee since the surgery. I said, well, I'm bringing coffee over and I'm bringing some beer. We got to get his weight back up so he can be in the broadcast booth. And I'm going over to his house tomorrow. I'm taking all the Tim Hortons coffee cans that I have and a bunch of Treehouse beer. That's his favorite beer. I think it's from New Hampshire. I had a bunch of it imported here last week, and I'll make the delivery tomorrow. So I've got to get him back on the horse with the Treehouse beer and the coffee.
Luckily, you got that in before the 25% tariffs came in on imports.
You know, it doesn't matter about those tariffs with the American dollar anyway.
Hey, Alan, I want to ask you, before we get into Ovi and so on, you mentioned a player at the beginning that JR and I, you know, we kind of beat him up last year, but I think everybody in hockey was beating him up. And that was Pierre-Luc Dubois. You know, going from Columbus to Winnipeg to LA and then to Washington. I didn't know what was going to happen. 15 goals, 37 assists. You see him every night. What's the difference that you've seen this year, maybe in previous years with Pierre?
Well, first of all, the Caps did their research on him, and everything they got out of Columbus was awesome, even Winnipeg. And Winnipeg was a team in turmoil a couple of years ago. And then you look at LA. It just wasn't a good fit for him. But since he's got here, this kid is smiling all the time. He might be the happiest dude on the team. I absolutely love him. JR, you'd love him. I thought I was going to be yelling at him and tweeting at him like I did at you, Tim. And
I don't know. Questionable. Questionable whether I would like him. I watched him too many times in Winnipeg. I watched him too many times in LA. And I question how you have more fun in Washington, D.C. than you have in Manhattan Beach. I just don't understand that, but I totally understand what you're saying.
Right now, you've got to, and it's a lot different from when you and I played, and you played a lot longer than I did, and our coaches were dicks. They were jerks, a lot of them. And there was coaches that wouldn't even talk to you. There weren't that many guys, but now the coaches, you can't go to war with your guys. You have to, you know, communicate. It's so much different. It's like communicating with your children. The way our coaches coached us, if you brought your children up like that, they would be awful. And Spencer Carberry and his coaching staff, you know, Kirk Muller, one of the happiest, best guys.
Love him. Kirk's the best.
National Hockey League. I don't spend enough time with him. I want to hang out with him more. Scotty Allen's a lifer in hockey. I love him. Carbs has got an incredible personality. The entire coaching staff is so upbeat and positive. And, you know, you have all those things off the ice out in L.A. and Manhattan Beach to live there is a dream. I used to spend my summers out there. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world, but he's happy all the time. And JR, I came in here expecting to see the guy we saw in Columbus. I talked to Torts, my buddy Torts, about him, and Torts loves the kid. And the reasons that didn't work in Winnipeg, I don't know, but his numbers were phenomenal.
I will say this about him. The kid has some serious talent. He's big, he can skate, he's got hands, he can score. It just comes down to his attitude and to his determination and his grit. It is his decision to play the game and play it with intensity. I'm actually happy that he has found a place where he feels comfortable, where he can show off these talents. But I also like the fact that he's showing some pride in the mentality of, I just spent 3 years on four different teams and I'm making $7.5 or $8 million. This is embarrassing. So I got to clean up my game. And he's been really good this year. I've watched a few games of his, and you know, he's been scoring, especially as of late, putting the puck in the net. So I'm happy for him. I don't want to bag on somebody. I like to say good things.
He plays against the other team's top lines every game. And no matter who his wingers are, they've performed incredibly well. When it was Wilson scoring goals left and right, Protas left and right, McMichael, everyone has been better when he's on the line. And I think he's made all of the forwards better, the way he uses his body. He's a big body guy. He probably learned some of the tricks of the trade watching Kopitar, who's one of the best players in the league, and he's like the West Coast Barkov. And you know, there's a lot of similarities in the game. He's a big guy that can move the puck. He's involved. And one of the things here in Washington, and it's never been a thing, where the media doesn't pick fights and go after players. And our social media, there's a couple clowns around, but it's not hardcore. It's so hard to play in Canada. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since the internet started. And there's too much damn noise up there, if you ask me. And there's just hate coming from every direction. The members of the media that used to just write something once a day or maybe once or twice a week, you'd see their columns in the paper. Well, they're live tweeting now. And it's stuff that you might sarcastically say up top. But could you imagine how bad you would have got beat up when you were playing with some of the days you had and some Well, you'd have been the dirtiest player in the league because of your hit. Yep. And you'd have been hated like Tom Wilson. And then, you know, you look at, and just people are making too much noise and there's too much sarcasm. And here, we got enough of that in politics in D.C. Washington Capitals, and the Capitals haven't gone to war with the media around here. And, you know, I'm a partner of the team. Ted actually owns my network now. He pays me, but I'm still allowed to have my opinions left or right.
That's important. That's important, Alan, because you read the game really, really well. And, you know, you, the way that you talk about it, the way you bring it across air is very understandable and easy to understand. You made that mention about Tom Wilson. And I've always loved this kid. I mean, how can you not love a Tom Wilson? Mm-hmm. But this kid had to work his ass off to get to where he is. I mean, he was considered just a fighter. And the fact that he has that mentality, I don't want to be known as just a fighter, but I want to be relevant. This guy has probably improved more in the last 4 years than probably 99% of the league, if you ask me. And what an asset this kid is to the Washington Capitals.
Well, he is spectacular. I thought they brought him up incorrectly, and he gets mad when I say this, and he's a proud guy, and we're good friends. But I always thought he should have played one more year of junior, like Scheifele did. He went back one more year, kinks in his skating, and they're not on it. And, you know, there was a balance thing with Scheifele at the start. He went back. He had a phenomenal coach in Dale Hawerchuk. And I thought if Wilson went back, he'd have been a 50, 60, 70-goal scorer in junior, probably because everyone was scared shitless of him. And I thought Burakovsky should have went down and then started in the minors. It's so hard to be a tough guy in the National Hockey League when you're 19 or 20 and 21. And look at all the guys that have been a train wreck over the years that started too early. I was lucky. I was a wrecking crew in the Atlantic Coast Hockey League, then the American League for a couple years. Then I got to the NHL, and you know, I was older. I was 24 when I made it. Tom's a lot better than I've, you know, ever been. And, you know, but I thought this, you know, the guy who's going to get 30 plus goals this year, I thought that would have happened sooner. But he is the consummate pro, the team guy. He is, a leader through and through. He and I do speaking events, and I'm so proud of him and impressed by him every single time we do things together or just when we hang out or text with each other. He's all class, and he has turned a lot of people's minds. And if he was on Team Canada at the Four Nations, that opening game in Montreal would have been a little bit different between Canada and us.
100%.
Gloves would have been dropping. And, you know, the other night we played the Ottawa Senators, and Brady Tkachuk, who grows on me every single time I see him play, they had a tilt the other night, and there was a lot of respect shown there, but they're the same guy.
Yep.
But Tom was pigeonholed early into playing a certain way, and he also had to play behind TJ for a long time, and deservedly so, because TJ was an incredible Washington Capital and really developed his game when he got here, because I don't know if he would have stayed in St. Louis if they ever would have used him properly. Because just had him. I just used to think this guy's a little bowling ball out there. He got here, he had to figure it out. Quit passing to O and start shooting the puck. He became a 30-goal scorer every year. So he learned from great guys like Oshie. You've got, you know, Ovi in the dressing room, who is an absolute little kid. And they're so great together. But Wilson, I feel like he's still a young boy, but he's in his 30s now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what's crazy too is you just mentioned, you know, what if he was on that Canadian team? I don't think anybody would have scratched their head if a guy like Tom Wilson was on that team.
Not at all.
Which for me is that is an amazing compliment for Tom Wilson. So hey, you never know. We got the Olympics next year. Well, I don't know. There's no fighting in the Olympics, but there is room for a physical, hard nosed mentality guy that can score goals in an Olympic Games. I wouldn't be surprised. That's a good point by you, Alan.
He had an incredible assist the other night. He put the team on his back against Ottawa, and he was kind of pissed off, and he was in one the other day. He was like, he's always intense, but he ragged the puck out of the D zone. He had someone on him. He just shrugged him off. He rips down the ice, cuts through the middle, and then throws a pass in the middle of the ice for Marty Ferravari. And it should have been the game winner. And I'm not going to complain about the referee because one of the union guys is.
No, searching. please complain about the referees. They suck.
Referee portion of the night. And the standard that was developed early went away in the third and in overtime. And that's the part that pisses me off when it comes to the refereeing. But Wilson is a player. And in my opinion, I don't begrudge anyone that made any of those teams for any Caps didn't have a guy, and I thought Tom was going to be in a close one to make it. Konechny's having a season. You look at the roles they wanted guys to play, and I think the next time you're going to see Tom Wilson on an Olympic team. I know there's no fighting, but it doesn't matter. He can still be a wrecking ball out there. He can skate. He is a fast skater for a big physical player. He is the best physical player in the National Hockey League. He and Brady Tkachuk are guys that bring it in every different, you know, facet of the game, and I expect Wils to be on that team. And as I said, what an incredible quality human being. You hear that a lot in the league, but he impresses me every single time I'm around him.
You know, it's funny the perception that people have of certain players or coaches or officials or whatever until you get to know somebody off the ice, because you're absolutely right. On Tom Wilson, I had a lot of FU contests on the ice, and then All-Star break 1 year, we happened to run each other in the Bahamas at the Cove, and I think half the NHL was there for the All-Star break, and we have a couple of beers, and then you realize, you know, we're both in there doing our jobs, and then after that I came back and reffed him for years, and it was always, hey Willie, I love the guy. So I want to ask you about because when Ovi was hurt, a player that I feel has really stepped up, and I didn't know. He spent the first 9 years in Arizona and Chicago, so I didn't know if he was going to eventually be this type of player. But Dylan Strome, what can you say about him? He's 60 points. The guy is just he comes to work every game.
Well, when you look at this, and a lot of guys just run around and grab money and contracts, and for some reason he was a perfect fit here, and he put up really good numbers in Chicago. But it's been a fit for him here. And there wasn't a whole lot of pressure because you still had Kuzi, you still had Backe, but he stepped up. He got such an incredible, smart, intelligent hockey mind. If he lacks in other areas he makes up for it, you know, his hockey sense. And another guy that's great to be around, but we call him Stats because he knows everyone's stats. He's, and when he's done playing, he'll be on somewhere talking numbers. He is.
He's the one that's in the shitter before every game with the stat pack he goes in, he grabs them, and he just sits in there and looks at them. I know this because I was one of those guys too.
The funny thing about him is I go, hey, well, I'll be in a locker room. I go, how many goals does he get? He's at 26. I got 20. Like, it's that.
Wow.
He knows everyone around the league, but I like that. I remember when I played in Dallas in that first year, and Bob would have these, trivia contests, skills contests in the morning because there was no hockey in the paper in Dallas, and, you know, we didn't have the internet. And he'd go, who's in first place? How many goals does Rick Tocchet have? And I said, I don't care how many goals Rick Tocchet has, and we're in first place, you know, things like that. I didn't know what was going on, but, you know, you just had the stat pack on game day you'd pay attention to, but we just played hockey. And I think that's one of the great things about playing in the States outside of the original six towns is that you just play your hockey at the arena, your hockey at the practice rink, and you can live a lot. And I know, Jim, you're a guy that loved to have fun off the ice and be with friends like I did. And I like the fact that when I was with Mike Modano in Dallas, most people didn't know who he was. And, you know, one of the best hockey players ever. And no one knew who he was or Darian Hatcher was. Or, you know, even when it was Eddie the Eagle and Net there and all those different guys. I raised my kids in Dallas. People didn't know who those guys were. So they got to live a life. And I think that's one of the reasons that guys in the South keep winning the Stanley Cups. Because there's a separation of the game and your life. And you don't have to deal with everything. Like in Canada, you got people sneaking pictures of you when you go out to eat.
That's a good point.
It's very tough when you're getting fire from every direction all the time. Or you know.
Yeah, I totally get it. Well, I you know, I actually appreciate the fact and about Stromey's ability to know stats or see stats, because what it tells me is that he concentrates on it. And if you're going to be a point guy, are you going to be a guy who is expected to create plays, to put points on the board for your team, to be an offensive leader? You have to have that in your brain. I was actually just thinking about this today because I was thinking about Ovi and I was thinking about things and about, you know, Ovi missing so many games to injury. I hated missing games because I couldn't pad my stats. I wanted to get out there and score. I wanted to score goals. I wanted to make assists. I wanted to build my stats. But I knew that if I did that, our team would have a better chance to win. It's not that I was selfish. It's just every time I was on the ice, I felt I had an opportunity to get a point, right? And I think that's a mentality that there's some players that go out there and be like, you know, I hope I get a point, or my job is not to get points or whatever. So psychologically, you don't put yourself into those areas because you're not as hungry because you're not thinking about it. The fact that Stromey's sitting there saying he knows all the points, he knows what guys have, he's instinctively hunting those points down. And it seems like he has gotten better and better at scoring points the older he's gotten because he's gotten smarter. No?
I'm with you, and he's probably the guy that tells you know, someone in the room, hey, you're 3 points away from 400 points, or you're, you know, you got five games, and we're going to play your 400th game in, you know, Arizona or Utah or wherever it's been the last few years. He's that guy. I love the fact that he's dialed in and knows that. And, you know, one of the things we forget, JR and Tim, is that, you know, we're all fans of the game, and you players make so much money. You're just thinking, that guy makes 7.5, that guy makes 11, he makes, you know, 1.2. Some guy got $3 million for 6 years today. And you forget that these guys have the same passion and drive for the game that we did as we were kids. I'm on the bus. I'm at the back of the bus, and we're on a road trip. And the guys, as soon as they get on, they're MFing some guy that just got his 25th goal or some guy just did. And they're already looking at the stats and seeing who's done what in the other games. I love it. We didn't have that. We had to wait for the box score the next morning in the paper, or probably USA Today a day late. And I love the fact that it reminds me that they still love the game regardless of what they're getting paid. And I don't begrudge anyone for any amount of money. Biggest thing I would say with the big contracts is that find your fit so you get every one of your dollars. And I always go back to Brizgalov. Look what he was doing in AZ. Went to Philly. It was really the fit for nobody forever as a goaltender. And so find your fit, and you got to think about it. We've got two goalies here that signed contracts. They could have got a lot more as unrestricted free agents. They're fit for Washington Capitals and Lindgren and Logan Thompson. And I thought very wise decisions by the two of them. Phenomenal in the room, phenomenal on the ice. They know where their bread is buttered, and it's being Washington Capitals goaltenders. And I love the fact that they didn't just chase after the Bucks, because a lot of times when you just chase after, go to the highest bidder, it's not going to work out, and you're going to get bought out. So I think
you just took my next question, because I was going to bring that up, because I knew Charlie Sideburns Lindgren from a little bit when he played here in St. Louis. I know his personality, and I think what I'm getting from you today, because I know what a good teammate he is. Spencer, it goes from Spencer Carberry all down, and it's not because he's driven it, but the players you have on that team, they generally, and because listen, not everybody likes each other. We just saw it in Vancouver with JT Miller and Elias Pettersson. But I think this team really likes each other a lot, Alan, and the coaching staff. Like, I've known, you've known Kirk Muller forever. I'm a huge Spencer Carberry fan. JR and I talked about him last year. I don't know him personally. I've never met him, but I just love how he handles himself. I think he treats the players with a lot of respect. It just looks like this dressing room, they really like each other.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And you go to all the teams. I remember the team that won the Cup here in 2018. We were on the road, and it was Ovi's 1,000th game. And I was with the team and did a show there, a special, and they crushed. It was the first time they finally figured out how to play the Penguins properly. And it wasn't, I always used to say, you can't out Pittsburgh the Penguins. You can't fly up and down the ice, because they're going to burn you at that game. They finally went into a defensive mode, but that team was so close. I remember the coaches all came out to me after the game, because I've been critical, played against the Penguins forever, and I would diagram blue line, like they've got to put 5 men at the blue line and frustrate and wait for opportunistic goals. The one that Kuznetsov scored to ultimately ice the Pittsburgh Penguins 6 games. But that team was so close, a lot of different personalities. This team is very close as well. If we get down here at crunch time, we've got no controversy. And I think when you have too much controversy in your team, and if it's starting up with management and coaching from talking out of both sides of your mouth, and we've seen that around the league where there's a lot of problems in certain teams, and there's always rumors, gossip, innuendo, what it is. Where are those leaks coming from? Who's talking out of their mouth? That doesn't happen here. Big Mac's a great guy. Chris Patrick's phenomenal. And you go down, trickle here, is then we got great, we don't guys got guys hammering Ovi from the side, talking, you know, to the media one way about the big man behind his back. They're right. All Carlson is his best friend. It's hilarious. All they say to each other is Bab. Hey, Bab, love you, Bab. And it's like back and forth. And, you know, they do it in the hallway before the game. They do it on the bus. You know, they bump into each other in the lobby. It's hilarious. But there's great chemistry. And I think Chaser said it years ago. We got Shattenkirk 1 year, then we got Osh. And he said, we just lost the two best guys that have ever won as phenomenal human beings. Mm-hmm. I think having Osh around here, he calmed a lot of the waters and brought everyone together. The trickle down now is that, you know, he had an affect on everyone. And, you know, he was all in with he was all in with Backe and Kuzi and the glue guy. Now you have a lot of glue guys here. They welcome everyone with open arms. The young kids aren't beaten senseless. Like JR and I took a lot of shit when we were younger. And but unfortunately, you know, well, fortunately for me, on every team I was, I could beat the shit out of most of the older guys.
Yes, you could.
I didn't take much crap. You know, when I got here, I think I was 23 or 24 when I got the Caps, but I already had 1,200 penalty minutes the first three.
Well, I think your record of 338 penalty minutes in one season is going to be safe for a while, buddy.
39, yeah.
Anyone ever 339, because I'm a stats guy too. I just know my PIMs. It'll never get broken, and if it is, it'll be the most undisciplined player that's ever played the game.
Well, you should tell Ovi once he breaks Gratz's record to come back next year and break your record, since he can do these crazy records things. So let's get to the elephant in the room, right? Obviously, everybody's watching Ovi, and My first question is, what is it? What's it like around? What's the atmosphere around the team and in the locker room on the bus when you're seeing somebody like Ovi do something, like in the hunt to do something so unbelievable, so epic, and what we thought we would never see in our lifetime. I mean, it's truly amazing. But what's the atmosphere like? I mean,
it's positivity. And, you know, as I said, it goes back to the media, the players not being in a media hotbed. You know, if he doesn't score for three or four games, or he blows a back check, or for that matter, anyone else, they don't get beat up. So it's positive. And there's been an electricity this season. Last year, he struggled, and I was really, really worried because his legs weren't there. I always thought, even with Brett Hull, the shot will never go away for these guys. Well, last year, Ovi was having, his shots weren't the same. He wasn't puck properly. He was bobbling everything. His passes weren't on. And he went to Dubai and rode camels and did all that. And he came back and ended up, I think, with 31 goals last year. He's at 31 right now. Mm. And, you know, he'd already have broken the record. We'd be looking at him in the 900s by now if he didn't break his leg in Salt Lake City. And, but, you know, for the fact that the team, no one has altered a thing for Ovi. Everyone has been in it to win it. So what makes it so fun is they're the top of the Metropolitan Division, the top of the conference. A lot of nights between them and Winnipeg, who's first overall in the league, and they don't really care about
that. Yeah, but how did that come across though, Alan? Because it's only natural to be on a team with a player that's as popular as Ovi is on a team, and obviously everybody wants him to get it. So for a player like Stromey, or a player like, I'm sure Backe, who's not even there, I'm sure he wish he could be in there, you know, dishing to him and getting in all that, you know, it's a common thing for hockey players to care so much. Did Ovi say anything to him? Did Ovi just say, boys, listen, don't worry about me. I'll get the right. Let's just go play and have some fun. Because to me, I would think, knowing Ovi, that he would do something like that.
He continues to have the most fun of everybody inside the room. He's the class clown. They can pick on him. He makes fun of himself.
The modern day Joe Thornton.
And they love the game. They all love the game. Gretz, you know, I look at how lucky I've been. I grew up in Edmonton, and I was in middle school, junior high school, when Gretz got there in the World Hockey Association. And my dad, we always went to every game as long as I didn't have a game. And my dad went out in the WHA the day that they got Gretz, and he said, Al, we're going to be in the NHL next year. He bought 13 season tickets for our family and our extended family that day. Wow. And, you know, some of my uncles and what have you. And so he goes, we'll be in the NHL next year. He goes, we get the greatest player that's ever lived. And what I was able to see as a kid, I was there the night he scored, you know, the fifth, you know, the goals to get him 50 goals in 39 games. I was at every game, felt like, and then I was in the National Hockey League, and somehow I ended up a kid in a reality TV show getting traded to the Oilers and watching him win his last Stanley Cup with the Oilers. And I just thought, man, I've been the luckiest hockey fan in the world. And now I'm a pro hockey player, getting still love the game. And here I get this job 16 years ago. I watched Ovi's first game in Dallas from my house, and I wasn't in broadcasting yet. And I was in absolute and utter amazement at how fast he could skate back then. There really was nothing like him ever, how he could wheel down up and down the ice. And all of a sudden, all these years later, I thought there's no way that he's going to break Kretz's record because he's way too physical. I think since they started tracking hits, JR, that no one's thrown more hits than Ovi for forwards. I don't know where it's all at. I don't get carried away too much in that. I just love the fact that when he scores or his teammates score, he's Mark Messier reincarnated. It's a part of it. And he's happy for everyone when they get goals. Mm-hmm. Grudge any of his teammates. He's become a better teammate. He didn't have great leaders when he got into the National Hockey League. They didn't have any of these, you know, phenomenal older guys they had in on the team. They had a fourth line guy that they brought in from Calgary, Chris Clark, who's a great dude, became the captain right off the bat. And, you know, it's not like he had been around and had a big reputation, but when you look at it and everything that happens, all the players are all in on this. They all love it. I was in Winnipeg a couple years ago, and I was like, he's getting 800 in Chicago in a couple of days. So I'm in Chicago. I went in the broadcast booth because I think ESPN had it. Shelley had it with Steve Levy and Mess. I think it was Mess. And we're in there and I'm in the broadcast booth and I go to John Walton. I go, he's doing it tonight. He's getting 800. He's getting a Hattie. And it was so emotional to be a part of that, that I had to slow down a couple of times because I was getting emotional. I love the game so much. And to be a part of those big dates and to be on the broadcast, I was like, wow, my life, you know, what I've gotten in my life watching the game and being part of this. And then two nights later in Washington, as he passes Gordie Howe. But that night on the plane, and as I walked to the dressing room, I was getting the first interview with Ovi. He went to the dressing room in the 800 game. Backy and all the guys were on the trip, who Tom Wilson, there's like seven or eight extras that night. And the players knew that something was going to happen on the road trip, so they brought them all. They went in the dressing room, and they were so gung-ho to be a part of it. The happiness was insane. It was like Stanley Cup happiness. He came out and did an interview with me. I started getting choked up because he was getting choked up. I had to end the interview. And then he was on the plane that night back to D.C., and he sat down with everyone, had a quick drink, and thanked them for being a part of it. Us guys included, too, the training staff. And he understands what he's doing. For him to be able to be motivated by his children and his wife to score these goals and the high fives and the fist bumps with his kids in the first row, it's been spectacular. So there is that energy. And, you know, the arena's full every night. It's buzzing. When he scores, man, I'm cheering in the booth. I don't know how to team. And, you know, I'm a regional broadcaster. This is my team. And
right.
I'm all in. The longer they play, I want four rounds no matter what. But the hockey fan of me loves seeing what I'm seeing and how gracious he's been and how he thanks his teammates, the gratefulness. But they're all in on it. They love him. It's unbelievable. He's 39 years old. This is his 20th season. He and Sid, what they've been able to do, I just can't believe that it's happening. Because, as I said, I thought Wayne, and I still believe Wayne's the greatest hockey player that's ever lived. And even if someone, I don't think his records get broken for his points. If it does, Wayne will be there too. And
best goal scorer you ever seen?
Yeah, what's that?
Ovi, the best goal scorer you've ever seen?
Well, I'm still biased. Until he passes Wayne, it's still Wayne to me because Wayne scored 92. And I know goalies were different, but so were sticks. And Ovi and I did a thing 2 months ago in Edmonton. And we went into the basically the Oilers Hall of Fame, and I was kind of schooling the guy who runs it. And we had Wayne's rookie jersey, those old mascot. Remember how those the old nylon or whatever the hell that was? Those, and it was all shredded to bits. And they were so cheap back then. The teams, it was just ripped to hell all over it. And we didn't put it on, but we had it out of the case. And then we took Gretz's sticks, and they came up to Ovi's belly button, and you know, to my rib cage. Oh, we all used these little sticks back then, and they weighed a lot, but they were short. And it's different time. Goaltending's different now. There's so many coaches on the bench. Our coaches were really just another bad coach in a different suit. And basically, when we played, there was not a different team to team. They were motivators and line matchers. Now they're, you know, it's all like they get their masters in hockey. They talk so much. There's eight coaches on the bench. There's three goalie coaches. There's eyes in the sky. There's two and three and four video coaches. So the game is different. I would say that, Mike Bossy, I'm old enough to watch that. That guy was the best shot ever, I think. And up there, and Ovi's up there. And Ovi's is his bizarre shot, and he's the ultimate power shooter if there ever was one. That stick is like a boomerang when he rips those one-timers. He can shoot off either foot, can score from either wing. So I'm all in on Gretz and Ovi, Brett Hull, Mike Bossy, Guy Lafleur. So I love the game, and I love the fact that we're
seeing. You're a good politician, Alan May. You're a good politician, man.
He lives in D.C., J.R.
You guys would be happy where I spent last night.
To me, he's the best goal scorer I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, it's amazing, but the longevity of it. And Gretz had so many goals. Like, Gretz was at 1,000 points by the time he was maybe, 23 or 24, like four or five seasons into the NHL. But, you know, it was a different time. But I love him. And when he passes Gretz, he will be the greatest goal scorer of all time. Mm-hmm. Until then, I'm not giving him the – I love him. And Aaron, I'm not.
All right. I don't think Obi watches our podcast anyway, so you're safe going in the locker room tomorrow. It's okay.
You know what? He is a great. It doesn't matter. He's gotten mad at me before for saying he was banged up, and we did something, and we're spending $10,000 each at Toys for Tots, or you know, one of those Toys R Us stores, and he's like, "Hey, quit saying I'm hurt." I said, "Well, what's wrong with your hand?" And he goes, "Nothing." And he shakes my hand, but he uses his left mitt, which is about this big.
Yeah.
No. The right hand, he can't shake my hand. So I go, okay, I'll shut up. But he's played through injuries. I know he's had a couple of, I think he may have had a knee surgery one season during the season and never missed a game.
And right.
A little clean. Like he is, the body is insane. It's not what it used to be, but I remember my oldest son and I, when we saw him in the dressing room in 2010, he just had the jock on. He was going to do the urine sample for the Olympics that year, the golden goal year of Crosby. And he walked by and his legs were shaking. And it was like when we were down in Venice with T.R. Goodman. Remember those big bodybuilders and their
legs
were moving?
Big ass thighs and legs.
But they rumbled his legs. There was like, and I go to my kid, I was like, holy shit, what the hell was that? I'd never seen a hockey player with legs like that. But I do say, I saw Sid in a room about 4 years ago stretching in the hallway. You know, DC's got a, it's obsolete building. They're redoing the whole thing. And Sid's out in the hallway. And I think there's some like big giant obese man on his knees. I was going to help him up. I walk over to Sid. His calves are, I've never seen anything like it. And I go, what the hell are those? And he just starts laughing. I know. I was like, I'd heard about them. He was 14 or 15. He had these monster thighs, like just an absolute freak show. And Ovi's a freak like that. Sid's a freak. Supposedly these Hudson brothers are like that as well. They got these massive thighs, and you know, it's a difference now. These guys all know how to train. We got into that stuff. I was always a workout guy, but training next level with TR, and then you see what Gary Roberts and all these guys have done. O'Brien, it's next level. These guys are built like very large tennis players now, not like we were kind of bodybuilders. It's completely changed, but Obi doesn't have the legs and the speed that he used to. And he hit, I think, 23 miles an hour a couple of weeks ago on a back check, which was awesome. And he was the fastest, you know, high-end skater for years. He would hit top end better than anyone in the league. I don't think he can do it for a lap like Sidney can, or certainly Connor McDavid. But, you know, he used to be able to light it up. So his skating amazed me, his shot, the way he used to dangle, the amount of goals that I've seen that are from skating as well. It's just as many of those, you know, 700, you know, was the skating legs. And then there were skating goals and there were shooting goals. And, it's been fun to watch, man. I love it. I'm in heaven watching all of this right now. It's been spectacular.
You know what, Alan, he mentioned two things, and that was his back check, which I was always amazed at. I'm like, this guy is one of the purest goal scorers I've ever seen. It would be so easy for him to be a one-dimensional player.
But he wasn't like that all the time, Peelsy, because he was one-dimensional before.
I know, but he's always, his physicality is what's always impressed me. And he's played the game so hard. He is not a fringe player. Like, he loves laying the weight. And that's what I've been impressed with. I know you know that the last four games, because you mentioned Sidney Crosby, and I always say the NHL playoffs are better when Alexander Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby are in the playoffs. And the last four games that you guys have are Columbus for two, Islanders, and then the last game, as you know, is in Pittsburgh. I think it would be just a storybook ending that you could write a movie for him to score it in Pittsburgh. The fans there, that's a great hockey town. They have a huge amount of respect for him, and the respect that Sid and Ovi have, I think that would be just a fairy tale ending. What a way to break his record.
I'm with you on that. And the biggest thing for me is I hope it's on our air. You know, we lose, you know, the Nationals have handicapped, and we've had to trade some games recently as like, are we going to be side by side, or is it just going to be them? And I really do want Joe Beninati to be on the call. I really want Craig Laughlin. I'm in his spot right now in the booth, but I'm a team guy. No matter what, I would love Joe and Craig to get a crack at it. I'm worried, though, that Ovi might just blister it again this week and get three, four, five goals, and then we're going to have Gretz and Gary Bettman around. But it would be incredible to do it with Sidney. I don't want those two guys to ever quit playing. I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I was when Wayne Gretzky quit playing, and I was sad when, you know, Guy Lafleur and Bossy, and unfortunately that's what happens. Even Mess and JR, you know, like there are personalities in the game that have made it incredible. And these two guys have been the story for so long. And if it would be fitting and it would be great, and they become friends, that would be an incredible way. And I'd also like it to be done in front of our fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Sidney would probably be the happiest guy on the ice besides Ovi, to tell you the truth. I think their respect between them and I was never a Crosby fan, but I'm a huge Crosby fan now. I've always been an Ovi fan. I've loved this kid since he came into the game, but the way that these two guys have represented the league for so long, it's really uncanny and remarkable. I mean, they remind you of Gretz and Mario in terms of that class and that keeping that high level of play up. So, I have two questions for you, and I don't know which one to ask first. I'll save the one where I was just going to ask you, and I'm going to say, does Ovi get it this year? And if he doesn't, obviously he'll come back and play next year, but he's got Olympics next year. It's got to be hard at 39 years old, 40, playing as much as he does. I know he loves the game, mm-hmm. but like this, would it be a letdown if he doesn't do it this year with the season they've had, and he has to wait all summer and come back again next year?
Well, I'm going to say, if I was a betting man, I would say that he does it this season. And it would be magical if it happens this season. And what he fooled us all, the way he came out at the start of the season with potting all those goals, then he breaks the fibula. And the leadership that he showed at that start of the year, the back-checking. And, you know, for so many years, I used to get so pissed off from people and the noise outside. Ovi doesn't want to win. It was a lot of the guys who were, you know, older, that, you know, we were born and bred to hate Russians when we were growing up. And he didn't get his due. And he wasn't on an original six team, so he didn't get his due that way. But I look at what an incredible ambassador he's been to the game. And he got beat up from so many different ways, but he's persevered. And they said he didn't care if he won. Well, he used to try to score every goal in the playoffs, not selfishly, because he wanted to win. And his teammates too many times weren't pulling on the same rope, and they would look down and, you know, they'd expect him to score the goals, but you need those fourth line guys. You need a Ken Morrow type of player to chip in, a Lars Eller. You got to have the whole squad's got to be winning games. But when we saw him pick up that cup in Las Vegas, who would ever bet that 50 years?
I think he showed more emotion than any superstar in the expectation of the cup coming. Because I did those games in Vegas. When Hopi made that save, the big save,
yeah,
Ovi was off. He was standing on the boards. He jumped so high, and the emotions. There's one player that I remember back in the day in New Jersey, Mike Peluso, who was a fighter. I remember him sitting on the bench 4 minutes left in the game. Literally, he is in tears, crying because he knows that cup is coming. Ovi topped that with his excitement on the bench, with everything. Everything that he did was, and then when he got the Conn Smythe, he couldn't wait to throw that onto the bench. It's like, here, thank you very much, gone. That meant so much to me and told me so much about what Ovi stands for and how bad he wanted to win. It must have just, that can't, doesn't surprise you, I'm sure.
That year they were going to win the cup. And as I said, I told all my guys March 1st, bet the Caps to win the Stanley Cup. They go, you never say that. I said, well, this is a team. This is a true team. And I remember him doing, he looked like an axe murderer. He was doing an interview with Pierre Maguire, and, you know, that big beard, the gray beard, and he's got this hoodie on. And I think he had a beanie on, and he was so intense. And I bump into Pierre and he goes, you guys are winning the cup. He was like, he was almost frightened. And there was just something. And I remember the second overtime game that they lost to Columbus, that game two. And I spoke with PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois, a couple weeks about this. And I said, you know when we won the Stanley Cup? And he looked at me and I said, it was when he nailed you first shift, third period. He goes, I've never been hit so far. He nailed PLD so far, he went from the red line, landed on the faceoff dot at the blue line, right from center. He just jacked him. And they lost that game. But Ovi, I think, had seven power bomb hits and seven huge shots in the third period. They lose in overtime. And Ovi was so defiant after the game. We are winning this series. And I believe he said six games. And to see the compete, and this team finally started scoring some ugly damn goals, because I always say if you play pretty, we're going to be sitting on the same bar stool and some beach somewhere the rest of the teams play. So they quit playing pretty, but he was so focused and energized every game. And the icing on the cake was game seven in Tampa, a minute and 6 seconds in the game, a one-timer. It was a big old finger to everyone in the hockey world. And the team went out that night, dominated Tampa, and went to Vegas ready to win a Stanley Cup. And there was just so many different moments. And, you know, I spoke to Gary Bettman last year in the finals at Edmonton. I wanted to take my son and see, like, real hockey country and the games at Edmonton, how spectacular they are in the playoffs and certainly in the finals. And I go, Gary, I'm in the suite with them, and you guys will love this, with Shania Twain as well. My son has no idea who she is. My mom thinks I'm with Shania Twain and her husband. And we're up in the suite, but before everyone gets there, it's Bill Daly, Gary, my son, and I. And I go, Barry, there's something I've always wanted to ask. He goes, shoot, you got about an hour and a half. Let's go. So we had real conversations, and I go, this one means a lot to me. I go, what is it like for you, and what does it mean for you to hand out the Stanley Cup? Well, he got glassy-eyed. He goes, to see these guys transform, like every emotion they've ever had, every dream, as soon as they touch that cup, he goes, and he's talking about Ovi at the time, and he starts talking about it was Ovi, and to see what it means. And to me, that moment was so incredible for me. And Jeremy, we're lucky to play in the NHL. Like, it was a gift. You had a Hall of Fame career, and congratulations. I loved it.
Thank you.
And I look at the most fun I ever had in hockey was covering the Caps in that run. It was amazing for me.
Yeah.
I love the game so much, and to see Owen Backe, and oh man, it was spectacular.
I had a blast, and I wasn't even as close to you. I mean, when I was doing it, I was doing the same thing. It was amazing.
Alan, one more question for me before we let you go, and I sincerely appreciate you taking the time to join JR and I today. We've got the trade deadline Friday. It was just announced this afternoon. Jack Hughes is out for the year, shoulder surgery. He's done. Bjorkstrand and Yanni Gourde get traded from Seattle to Tampa, which Coop's very familiar with Yanni Gourde, and Bjorkstrand can shoot that puck and score. So Tampa's loading up for another run. Do you see Washington having to make many changes? And if so, where do you think they could possibly improve on?
Well, they're in that tough spot where you change players. The year they won the President's Trophy, 2010, they brought in a bunch of guys, and they had too many guys, and it disrupted the team. And I don't think they were as methodical as they should have been that time. And when I look right now, the third line's out. It's been in question all season long. It's not really – it does – without us, the fourth line gets more minutes than the third line here. And the third line's had a lot of different guys on it, left wing, right wing. You know, they bring Lars Eller back, and he's really got his game going the last three or four after he was out with illness. But I would expect that they would do something to enhance the third line. And they've got a first rounder, Alexander Alexiev, who just went down to Hershey to get some games, and he's like plus five in two games, 6-4. And when he plays well. So there could be a depth defenseman to go along with those guys, but they've got such good chemistry and things are going the way they are. But sometimes you need a spark, and the way we've seen the offense with them a little bit lately in the record a little bit, we got Ryan Leonard coming out of BC, but, you know, when was the last time a college kid really made an impact? You know, there's Carr and Chris Kreider. And Chris Kreider, I think, was 2012. So Ryan Leonard, you know, he's still got to play with the big boys in the National Hockey League. And if they win or play in that national championship game, he'll be playing for the Caps next night. But I wouldn't – I'd expect that they may do something, especially you see Florida loading up and Tampa loading up, and Carolina's made some moves. So it won't be earth shattering, but I think they'll still bring in a quality player that can top there. And the top been rolling. So it's one tough decision. And, you know, guys want to play here. Arlington's a great town. JR wasn't here long enough to know enough about DC as a kid. Spectacular. It's where the players can walk around. It's safe. It's a great vibe. And then you come into the city for the games. Players, once they get here, they realize it's a pretty cool town.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch the end of this season. Everybody's going to have their eyes glued not only on Ovi, but the Caps. So my last question, and it won't take you very long to answer it because I've kept you for an hour. So we really appreciate it, Alan. You're such a good friend and such a great guy. And obviously, we all know what you do on television. You're one of the best in the business. You know, you've mentioned Hall of Fame with me, and I thank you for that. Two players went right into the Hall of Fame without any no grace period. Ovi and Sidney, are these two the next two to go right into Hall of Fame? No 3 years needed. I mean, that's, I think, what these two have meant to the game.
They have been the game when you look at it. They have to. I think it'd be so disrespectful for anyone not to have those as first ballot, first time. They have been, you know, the lockup player since we lost a season. These two guys have been the face of the game. Have they been perfect? No, but they've gotten better and better with age. They're you know, Sidney's like the perfect human. And Ovi's come so far, you know, a kid that didn't know the language, but they have to. When you think of Washington, you think of the best athlete that's ever played in the city in any sport is Alexander Ovechkin. At Pittsburgh, you've got Mario, you've got some incredible Steelers, some, you know, Pirates, but Sid is the new wave, and he built that arena. Mario's got to be so proud of his adopted son, but it would just be the worst thing in the world if these two guys didn't go automatically in. There's other guys, and, you know, like JR, what I really loved about the Capitals when they got into, you know, they won the Stanley Cup, and there were so many years that were letdowns. I go, there is no perfect potion. No one knows what it is, because if you did, even Scotty Bowman can't build you the perfect potion. He won a lot of cups, but it was a different time. It's harder now with the salary cap. And I think all those trials and tribulations have made the game better, and it made the Stanley Cup win for the Capitals that much sweeter, because there was more heart, there was more soul. I look at you going to the Hall of Fame, the trials and tribulations to get there, the heart, the energy, and the emotions that came out of you that night. And, you know, for us guys that love the game and love the people of the game, I think it made you that much even better that when that call came. You're probably blindsided. I can't remember the story, but I'm pretty sure you were.
Yeah, it was insane. It was it definitely took me by surprise. And, you know, they say what everything good comes to those who wait. Well, it made it better, but there's no question that Ovi and Sid will not have to wait. They should go right in the year they retire. Their ability to be the face of this league for so long and have that model of consistency and grace, to me is truly incredible. And we're going to see the same thing with McKinnon and with Connor McDavid and all that stuff. But they have great role models to look up to Ovi and Sid. So again, Alan, thanks for being with us, man. I really appreciate your time, and we'll be right with you, rooting for Ovi every night. I look at the stats every morning, and I can't get his games, but I'm right on there. Did he score? Did he score? And half the world's doing that. The whole hockey world, for sure.
Well, hey, guys, thanks for having me. And Peeler, I will tell you this. So many guys over the years would go, lay off of him. But I'm an equal opportunist. I cracked on all of you guys. You got to have a beer with the guy. You got to have some drinks with the guy. He's a great guy. And so I promise we'll get together and we'll have some. I can't wait to see both you guys in person. And, it's been a blast being with the two of you.
He is a great guy, but there's a reason why he wears glasses now, because he couldn't. That's why he missed everything on ice.
You know what? You know what, Alan, one last thing is, because I love Joe Beninati. Joe Beninati was always so nice to me. He's, as you know, he's a gentleman and just a good person. And I hope that you that they get to call that game, because Dan McLaughlin and Mike Shannon were the play-by-play guys for the St. Louis Cardinals forever. And when Albert Pujols hit his game-breaking home run, it was on ESPN or whatever, TNT. You know, of course, they had to steal it from the local guys. And it sucked for those guys. I felt for those guys. They had been calling Albert's game his whole career. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen to those guys, because it would be a shame.
And I always think, too, and I can go on forever about this, but when you listen to all of Joby's goal calls, you know, there was that goal in Arizona. There was the first one. .499 against Henrik Lundqvist might have been my favorite. And I was working that game between the benches, and it was an end-to-end overtime by Ovi. Went through everyone. And it was just an amazing goal. And the celebration, 500 the next night, 501, Joe was there. And I want to hear that forever. I want to hear John Walton, who is spectacular. Those two guys, the mashup. And if it's a side-by-side game with the National Hockey League, that's great. I hope they put their best out there that night. Whether it's a TNT guy or an ESPN guy, I want their best, but I want our best as a Washington Capital and my broadcast who are great friends.
Hey, listen, they should just have all the class in the world. They should have all the class in the world, and they should do every game, whether it's TNT or NBC, wherever they are, they should be doing it for them. Do special. I don't care if they're on contract with them. Just make sure they're doing the games. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey guys, I got one last thing. I'm happy I didn't bail out on this today. I was at my health club, which is a pretty nice health club, and someone broke into my locker and stole my wallet and my iPhone today. Oh. I heard my code for my iPhone. I had like three extra ones. I've been charging them up while we've been on the line here. So my credit card, all my emails, they've been running up, trying to run my credit cards and my bank cards.
Doesn't sound like it's too nice of a health club.
Sounds like the YMCA.
Oh, and it's a lot.
Well, listen, we love you.
Yeah, these people will get caught, and I'm going to have one more fight now that I'm in my 60s. I'm going to have one more fight.
I feel bad for those cats. Well, Alan, you're the best. We love you, man. I appreciate your time, and let's catch up down the road. I'm sure we'll tip a couple of cocktails. We'll have some fun.
All right. Take care, man.
See you guys. What amazing.
That was awesome. Yeah, he was fantastic.
He is the epitome of entertainment.
Yeah.
Because he tells stories. He sees the game the right way. He loves the game. It's passionate about it. And he's been such a loyal, so dedicated for so long.
Yeah. I asked half the questions I wrote down because, he's just, you ask him something and he's a wealth of knowledge and I'm happy that for him that he's, you know, around to see OV play and so on, because it's got to be a treat to be able to see him play in person every night, you know. So it was awesome, buddy. That was fantastic.
Yeah, good show, buddy.
How about that? As we were doing the show, Smitty, our esteemed producer, sent me a text. He goes, Jack Hughes out for the year.
That's a huge blow to the New Jersey Devils. So you would think we're talking about the trade deadline coming. I mean, you would have to think that New Jersey's got to do something desperate here right now just to try to
help that loss. You and I, we talked about it last week when we talked about the Four Nations. I'm almost positive that I brought up that Bronson said to me, Dad, Hughes gets knocked off the puck all the time. The guy is too slight, and I don't know how you fix that, but he's got to get bigger, man, because he's hurt all the time because he's just slight.
And you know why? It's because he usually goes into those high traffic areas. This guy, you know, Jack Hughes plays the game the right way. He goes hard. He goes hard to the net. He gets in there. He's not afraid to mix it up. And even though he might not have the stature, it doesn't stop him from playing the game a little recklessly. You got to love him about that. I feel awful for him.
That sucks for Jersey.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the Devils. But we'll wish the best of them. But good show today, buddy.
Hey,
awesome
buddy.
Awesome job. Thanks to Whiskey in the Wild, whiskeyinthewild.com, our protected neck guards, and, of course, Bet Online. We appreciate everybody's support. And, again, that's another killer. We did win the best show of the week right there, because that was our only one.
That was awesome.
Stripes. right here on nofilter.net. We love you. I love you, Peelzy. You're
love
the
you,
best.
buddy. See ya.
See
Bye.
you next week.